At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring Pat Boyle and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And just like that, we're halfway through a summer fry DA, bogus in for DA. Pat Boyle is here. Pete Pilotti is here. Emmanuel Barbari, who announced Pat Boyle, he's here as well. In just a second, we'll be joined by Steelers wide receiver Diontae Johnson. Good talk show host that I am. I think I only mentioned that once about 2 hours ago. Was probably going to mention it last hour, but got distracted by Boyle's really deep-hearted, strong defense of professional female butt-slapping. I mean, if anything was ever foreseen, guaranteed, it would be Boyle defending that sport, quote unquote. We got a lot to do before we're done. The Target Demo Friday meme is out. Coming off of yesterday's Jody Mack time traveling to 1897 Chicago Colts roster and Bat Boy. There's a picture of five of us, me, Pete, DA, Boyle, and Peter Schwartz, as again, I think the Gas House gang of the St. Louis Cardinals. And then there's Jody perfectly placed as an umpire in said game. Find the meme, CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. Let us know how you're listening, where you're listening, and what time frame should we send Jody next. Wild Wild West Jody appeals to me out of the chute here, but we'll workshop it. And the idea is the possibilities are basically endless. We still will get to Pete versus. That's coming up this hour as well. LSU's making an interesting hat tip to gambling. Matt LePay, the voice of Wisconsin football, is our Sounds of Saturday. That's an hour from now. And the other crazy sports game event store that's not professional butt slapping, we'll still get to that before we are done this morning. But right now, we're talking about the NFL. We're talking about the AFC North. We're talking about the Steelers, and we do so coming off the Hall of Fame game last night, Jets-Browns, almost no one of significance played on either side. By this time next week, we will be knee-deep in preseason football. Our next guest is getting set for that first preseason game, and then more importantly, week one in September. He is a former All-Pro wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, coming off year number one with Kenny Pickett under center. Here comes year number two. We are pleased to be joined this morning again by Steelers wide receiver Diontae Johnson. Again, Diontae saw the Jets and Browns last night. Your game, your first preseason game, is a week away. Are you guys at the point now in camp where you're just dying to hit somebody else?
Yeah, in my opinion, you know, because we practice against each other every day, so I'll be kind of looking forward to going against some other DBs or whatnot. But I always love going against our guys because, you know, we're going to get good work every day. So, even then, when we get to those games, it's going to be the same thing, but just a different guy in front of you. So it's nothing different. So I'm actually excited, to be honest, about the season.
I know there are team goals, but what have you been focused on so far in camp, and what are you hoping to accomplish on the field during these preseason games?
Really, just being a leader, really, because I never, you know what I'm saying, been a vocal leader, just really trying to help out my group or whatnot. And on the field as well, just my personal accolades I want to achieve, 100 yards, Pro Bowl, All-Pro, all those type of things. But those are not my main focus because, you know what I'm saying, if I worry about those, and then that's distracting me from the bigger picture. So I don't really think about those because at the end of the day, if I do what's right, those things will come. So, and that's the team is first always. So I'm never going to be a selfish player at all. That's not me. So I'm a team guy, and I just want people to know that I'm a team guy, and that's what I'm all about is the team.
It's definitely a new team in regards to a lot of roster turnover. For the longest time, we knew it was always the same Steelers. Now they're different Steelers, and all of a sudden, I think you have the biggest cap hit on offense. So does that carry weight with it? Does that make you a leader on the team?
Yes, I would say. So that all eyes on me at all times, so I got to move in the right direction and lead by example on the field and off the field, so I got to be on my Q's and P's and Q's and whatnot. So when it comes to that, like leadership, from a leadership standpoint, I just got to, like I say, do the right things and just lead by example. And, you know what I'm saying, if guys got questions, I'm just be there, be lend a hand for them, because I was in that position before. If I'm a new guy or a guy that just got to the team, I can just show them the ropes of how we do things here and stuff like that.
A year ago, Kenny Pickett had just been drafted. Mitchell Trubisky was figuring things out, too. How different is this training camp with Kenny as the number one guy getting the majority of first-team reps with you?
It's a lot different because, you know, last year I was going through my whole contract situation sitting out, so I didn't get to get those reps with him. But this year is different. I'm out there getting those reps, and we're trying to build a time and that chemistry with each other. And you see it. It's getting there slowly. You know, Kenny's steady, getting better every day. We talk about little things we see or we can do better here and whatnot, but you can see his progression. And I'm going to keep being that leader for him and whenever being that security blanket for him out there as well. So just keep encouraging him whenever he's down or whatnot. That's what anybody on the field, you know, just be that leader that they need me to be. So I'm going to continue to do that.
Did he get married this offseason? Did I see that? And then were you there?
Yeah, he did. And of course I was there. You know, I had to show up for my quarterback, let him know I'm for him and stuff like that. I'm happy for him, you know. And I'm cheering for him in his career, too, and rooting for him. Like, I wish him nothing but the best in his career. So I'm going to help him achieve his goals as well. So, you know what I'm saying?
So how does that work? Because there's a lot of you on a team. So the whole team can't be invited, but does the whole offense go, the skill guys? What's protocol in the NFL for wedding invitations?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I just know I got that text message from him that he wanted me to be there.
As long as you're there, it's good, right?
Right. That's the text message. I got a text message from him that he wanted me to be there, and I told him I was going to be there, and he got my word, and I showed up for him, so... And I know that meant a lot to him, so hopefully, you know, that carries over to the season as well.
This is Deontay Johnson, Steelers wide receiver, with us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. I've got to be the 10,000th person to ask you about last season and the zero touchdown catches. Now, you said coming into camp that you're past it, you moved on. How actually do you get past probably the frustration of not catching a TD last year?
Just by focusing on this year, you know. You can't dwell on the past, because the past is the past. You can't change it, whatnot. But what you can do is focus on this season and get ready for the season or whatnot, and continue to get better with your quarterback. And that's what I'm doing. I have full trust in Kenny that he's gonna give me the ball and do what he has to do. You know what I'm saying? Making the right decisions out there. At the end of the day, the ball gonna come my way. The ball will find you. You know, just as long as you do the right things out there and not try to, you know, force their hand or whatever, just play and not overthink about stuff. And like I said, those plays will come. That's what I'm doing. So,
walk me through the camaraderie, the on-field kind of competition with George Pickens, your other wide receiver.
That's my guy. You know, I'm taking him under my wing, just trying to show him, you know, how to be a leader out there as well. Just, even though he's not there, but he is there. You know what I'm saying? Everybody looks up to him as well, expecting him, looking for them big plays. You know what I'm saying? Those excitement plays you're looking for, G. So it's him. I feel like he's growing. He's grown a lot since last year. And you just see him. He's a freak out there. So the catches he makes, like, I've never seen some of the catches he's made, like, before ever. So, like, I'm going to just keep helping him. Whatever he needs from me, I'm going to be there for him. So. That's just me.
Do all those crazy catches, twisting, one hand jumping, do all of those go back to OBJ? Because now it feels like you guys are every receiver, college and NFL games that I'm at, everyone's practicing those catches now. Does that all go back to Odell?
I mean, yeah, you can say that, but hey, some people just gifted like that. And I think George is one of those guys. You know, he's just a freak of nature. And you don't come across too many players like that. Like, can just naturally catch the ball like that, pluck the ball out of the air with one hand like it's nothing. So he's a really gifted player. And I'm happy for him. Like you say, I want nothing for the best, nothing but the best for him out there on the field when we're playing.
You've got you guys coming off a 9-win season, Burrow and the Bengals, Lamar, OBJ and the Ravens, and then maybe even the Browns. Is this the toughest division in football?
Yeah, the division has gotten tougher. Yeah, AFC North is a tough division, period. So
yeah.
Every Sunday is going to be a tough game. So you gotta come ready, prepared. So, and you know, Coach T gonna get us, have us ready. So I'm not really worried about that because we practice hard and we know what we're doing out there.
Now me standing here, sitting here as a measly radio host, I'm thinking, man, I kind of want to be in the weaker division. Put me in the AFC South, maybe, where the path's a little smoother to the postseason. But I'm guessing you like the North. You want the heat every Sunday, right?
I love it. Competition every week. Not saying it's not competition in those other divisions, but it's just the games just be harder because you know who you're going against and what that other team brings to the table. So we got to match that every Sunday.
You mentioned your coach a second ago. I think he's my favorite in the league. If I had money to buy a team, he probably would be my first move, making him the head coach. Tell me something about Mike Tomlin that I can't know as an outsider.
You said that you can, though?
That I wouldn't know, because I'm not there every day. I don't know. Does the dude like classical music? Does he drive weird car? Like some weird habit he's got? Anything that's a secret from Mike Tomlin that you can share with us?
A secret? Oh, man, he kind of stays to himself, but at the same time, he talks to us. He's a player's coach. That's what a lot of people love about him. He's a player's coach. Like, you know, a lot of coaches don't really take the time out to talk to get to know their players, but no, Coach Tomlin is one of those guys that's going to get to know his guys, every single one of them. And that's why everybody loves playing for the Steelers and love this organization, because you have a coach like that that loves his guys and that buy-ins to his guys, that cares about his guys. It makes you play harder for him, because you don't want to see nothing but for him to win. And that makes you play hard. You're like, dang, I got a coach that's on my side, that believes in me. So I'm going to do everything I can to make him look good.
Is he talking about the way you guys finished last year, four straight wins to close out the season? Didn't get you into the postseason, but it got you back over 500. Has he connected the end of last season to the beginning of this one, or is everything kind of new starting from scratch right now?
Everything is kind of new starting from scratch. Last year, like I said, we on to this. For the new season, so like we getting ready, prepare for the preseason, and then the fall. So I'm looking forward to it.
Deontay, this was fun, man. Stay healthy. Best of luck this season. Hopefully, we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Nah, it's our pleasure. That's again Deontay Johnson, stud wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Interesting offense, as we said in that conversation. It's a different time, not a weird time, a different time in Pittsburgh. For so long, all the names were the same. And now a lot of the names are different, especially on offense. Big Ben is long gone at this point, and you know they've got some young wide receivers, young running backs. They've had to swap guys in and out. And as I said to Deontay there, I mean, they might be in the toughest division of football. The AFC East is competition because of the Bills and the Dolphins and the Jets. You might think the NFC East is dangerous because of the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Commanders and the Giants, but you know, if all these things hit and the Steelers move north, progress from last year, if that strong finish to last year carries over to the beginning of this year alongside the Bengals and alongside the Ravens, and even if the Browns get Deshaun Watson improvement, that's a good football team too. Those are four quality teams. That's six tough games in your division. That's a tough road to hoe. And as I said to Deontay, I would prefer the easier path, but he's like, no, sign me up for this, and away they go. You know, it was an interesting team last year. Bad start, wondering if maybe it was time for a different voice at times. There were questions about Mike Tomlin's future. The organization quickly said, absolutely not. Those questions are silly. And then they won their last four games. They finished over 500 again. I definitely sat here and talked about Mike Tomlin not necessarily winning the award, but closing the way they did in the middle of a roster overhaul should have gotten Coach of the Year votes. There were some of you who were Steelers fans who yelled at me for that he was the reason why they were in the hole to recover from and therefore doesn't get credit for that. I still think the guy is on the short list of the best coaches right now and of all time. And I wasn't lying when I told Deontay if I had the ability to own a team and hire a head coach, I'd want Mike Tomlin because of all the things that Deontay then said about him. Because of the way he runs a locker room, handles players, relates to players, looks damn cool while doing all of it, provides epic sound bites with bigger words than Aaron Rodgers could even dream of. I love that guy, and I would love to play for him. And he's the reason, in my mind, why they recovered the way they did last year and why I think they take another step or two this year and, again, make that maybe the toughest division of football. And Deontay's coming off a year where, I mean, the math just doesn't make sense. And I didn't want to bring it up too much because he's talked too much about it. But he had so many targets last year and zero touchdown catches. It just doesn't line up that way. Almost as if Kenny Pickett or Trubisky like refused to throw him touchdown passes. It was an oddity. And he talked about moving on from that. And he's talked about his contract is settled for now. And he's a leader. And there's, you know, if you Google his name, there's some pretty hefty Deontay Johnson takedowns that he's not that good. He makes too many mistakes, doesn't run the best routes, that he takes some blame for not catching touchdown passes, at least one last year. But he's still, and maybe George Pickens passes him because Pickens would have been a high, high pick had he been healthy coming into the draft, and he wasn't. So he fell, luckily, to the Steelers. But, you know, just this week, the internet was going crazy with the catch he made at training camp. And he certainly showed flashes a year ago. I think he had four touchdown catches. He may jump Deontay Johnson as their best wide receiver, Kenny Pickett's number one target. But that's then good news if a guy like Deontay Johnson becomes your second target and Kenny Pickett in year two really his first full, you know, finally a full year where he's in charge working with the first team offense. You know, there's reason to be optimistic in Pittsburgh as this new season gets that much closer. Stunned to a news on the way this hour. And again, Pete versus, he's already been fed up with professional butt slapping and something else, but that's not Pete versus today. He's got a whole other topic to get to. When we come back, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The only radio show where listeners are invited to their childhood homes. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We need an addendum to that rejoin. The only show where listeners are invited to their childhood home, whether the childhood home wants it or not.
Exactly.
Because DA remains hell-bent on one more Bob's Bar Show at least, with Sean working elsewhere.
Then people were mentioning our homes.
Yeah, well, I mean, yours specifically.
Yeah, not happening.
Because that would be tremendous content, forcing all of us upon the Bilotti compound.
Oh, there needs to be some shackles exchanged, let's just say that.
I don't know why, and I hope you are. Maybe you are, and I don't know it. But you guys better be asking all these people interviewing for Sean's job what kind of childhood home they have. They should have to bring in schematics and floor plans. That's and right. Ideas for this party. That should be almost a requirement. College degree, 3 years experience. You can use Microsoft Word. And you have a house we can have a party at Memorial Day weekend.
Events were mentioned in some of the...
Are you allowed to even ask that?
No,
there are so
can.
Many rules.
You can't?
Okay. You can't require someone to house a party?
Yeah, you can't do that.
That's fair. Back with you here. It's hour three, right of the DA Show on this Friday morning. It's an old school summer fried DA. Damon's off today, so it's Bogish and Pete and a Boyle and Emmanuel's here as well. Now, next week, some combination of us will be here as well because DA's got Monday through Thursday of next week. He'll be filling in for Jim Rome. He'll be in this chair with the fancy TV cameras on, I was told. You'll be able to see him on CBS Sports Network as well as listen to him across all of our great affiliates. But since he's doing that, the rest of us will do this show. And then I think DA pulled a Summer Fry DA on the Rome show.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that power play? You'd think if the Jim Rome show comes to you and goes, hey, can you fill in next week? You go almost like a Broadway schedule. Yeah, I'll do two shows on Wednesday and Friday. I'll be here for seven shows in 5 days. Not Damon. Damon goes, I got you Monday through Thursday, but it's a Summer Friday, so best of luck then.
Got to go fish.
He's got, who knows what he's doing?
Well, maybe not fishing anymore.
That is a hell of a power play. That
right?
is showing who's got...
Who's in charge. That's why his name's on the show.
Who's wearing the pants.
You can't embargo a city in which you host a podcast and present logos with said city's skyline in it. That's a unique power. You can't... Right. Most people would call that contradictory, if not hypocritical. But no, it's just, this is the way DA wants it to happen. So it's happening because he's got that kind of pull. So Jim Rome, I can help you Monday through Thursday, but Friday you're SOL.
So Greg, when Greg Giannotti called DA the James Harden of Odyssey, he, you know, it's true. It does whatever the hell he wants.
Did he call him that?
Oh yeah, that's a rejoin. I love playing every now and then.
I don't remember him saying that.
A while ago.
Greg Giannotti goes, you know, DA is like the James Harden of Odyssey. He does whatever the hell he wants.
That's kind of true. That's kind of true. So that's next week. The week after that, at least I'm on vacation. I feel like, are you on vacation too that week, Pete?
I don't even know where we are.
Oh, no. You know what it is? I think Sean was supposed to be off that week too.
All right. So
but next, that no longer matters.
The following week, I am here.
Okay. So I'm
except
not here.
Except for the 18th. I have a wraparound vacation coming up.
There you go.
The 18th. And then through the 24th, back to 25th.
Okay.
So wraparound.
So next week, no DA. The following week, no me, a little no Pete. And I'm assuming that's another Summer Fry DA that week as well for Damon.
Yes.
Then the week after that, now we're on, I think, the week of the 21st, we're back to no Damon. And right. I don't know what that one is.
That's Monday through Thursday, no me. And then I'm back Friday, but no... but. Off the whole week.
That schedule has not been released yet, by the way.
No. And then the last week of August, there's a little DA, but then the end of that week is Labor Day, so then we start to disappear individually. So there's a lot going on.
And then,
bottom line is, we're a month away from another show with the full cast,
and then
the full current cast.
Well, then you're going to get a stretch of...
Bye-bye Pete.
Bye-bye me
right.
for paternity.
In the ultimate power move... Pete's going to help hire the new Sean and then go, you're working with somebody else. Which also may include one of the losers of the Sean pursuit having to replace Pete and sit next to the person that he or she lost the job to. It's possible. I'm not saying it's going
to
happen.
I can't reveal all the chips, so I'm trying to kind of avoid that.
Right, but
it's going to happen.
But it's going to happen at some point. If not then, then later on.
I'm trying to avoid that early.
Yeah. Let the feelings subside.
I'm trying to avoid that early, and then maybe a month later, we try to explore that.
I really hope we get one meltdown. I need one person to get angry about not getting this job. I need to hear one door slam. I need to hear one garbage can get kicked over, a random curse from a closed office. I need something like that.
I would hope all of our candidates are true professionals, and we'll adjust either way.
That would be some podcast, a round table of everyone that didn't get the job from around here.
That's the first PGP of September.
Oh. I need two studios for that. There's a bunch of people.
It'd be like one of those Bravo reunion shows.
That's right.
Which they shoot like a block from here, apparently.
That's right.
I'll kill you.
Yeah, maybe. I'll kill you.
Walking off the set.
Who's hosting it?
Me.
Oh, that's right.
You can call me Andy for that show.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll be Andy Cohen that day.
I'll be your Andy. Put a string in my back and pull it.
Yeah, I'll sit there. Just open up a can of worms. Let everybody yell back and forth. Everyone's dressed to the nines. Suits and dresses for that one. Screaming back and forth. You did that. You lied. I'm better than you. Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
You're a low-key potster.
Yeah.
Cap is the high key pot stirrer because he controls everything. He controls the stream. He controls the target demo. You are very low key about it, but you've got your cunning Knievel ways.
I can push a button here and there, and I definitely sometimes root for drama. And in this case, I'm rooting for people's bad feelings. But I've also lived those feelings too, so I know what's coming because I've been them.
I've seen some bad feelings here, not work-related, I think life-related, from some fellow colleagues. Uh-huh. It's not a good sight.
I've been in those on the opposite side of the table before, many times, being told no.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say that, too, when we talk to kids and, like, when Pete has me talk to his college students or I go back to Fordham, it's one of the first things. You're going to hear no a lot. It feels like more than other industries, but... You know, us on the periphery of like, you know, performance arts, when you're auditioning for jobs and whatnot, you're no matter who you are, unless you're one of like three elite people, it's far more no's than yeses.
Now, one of the first times I heard no, I almost
there's so many ways to follow that up. I'll let you do it.
I almost threatened to move to Portland.
Portland, Oregon or Portland, Maine?
Portland, Oregon. Portland,
oh, you went Pete. To full Portland, huh?
I was thinking of going or leaving the area to go pursue the business in another location.
Okay.
But I was quickly told, don't do that, and I was right. And they were right.
Well, on that note, you keep the mic. People asked yesterday, more than one person tweeted back, it's been too long. Where's Pete versus? Everybody loves it. Can't deny that love, Pete. So take it away.
Well, if you
Pete versus.
If you need it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you if you need
it. No.
I'm going to take a shot at the way sports has become so hot and cold. I miss the days where you ran a team and you ran it with a balance, with a little bit of, player development on your own and free agency. And this is across most of our major sports right now, because I can't stand these radical shifts. And the team from Queens proved that this week, the New York Mets, with how they handled what happened with Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer. And instead of going to a retool, they went to a complete rebuild. I missed the days where you did a retool. You didn't have to tear the whole thing down in a week. I mean, the player I blame, and Bogus will always criticize me for it, but the player I blame is LeBron James because he introduced the super teams. And now you have to either have a super team or you got to tear it all down and redo the whole thing through the draft. So I blame LeBron James in that regard, and I miss the days when we were able to have a balance in these organizations where you didn't have to go crazy in free agency or you didn't have to tear the whole thing down. There's as I said before, you're there for the customers, and when you tear down an organization and you make it very public, you're making fans resist, and you can't do that. So that's what I'm fighting against today.
So that's Pete versus LeBron and the decision in 2023.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
We can start there.
I'll allow it.
But it's multiple layers. You got to peel the orange, so to speak.
The onion, I think, is the...
Or orange, yeah.
You can peel an orange.
You can peel an orange, but I think the point of you peel an onion, there's just layer after layer after layer.
Orange is layers.
There's one. There's the skin, then you got orange.
But then you peel the orange. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, the onion. The onion, you're right. You're right, my bad.
You peeled the skin, you got the orange.
I love you. And you know what? Like, that should be daily.
Yeah.
I completely disagree with you, but it makes me smile.
How do you disagree? He did that whole thing with the Heat. Him and Pat Riley with the rings, and they built the super team. Now everybody has to build a super team. How come we can't build a balanced team anymore? It has to be, all through the draft or all through free agency. Where is the balance?
I hear you. And this reminded me of you very strongly being anti-tanking. I think pre-NBA draft.
It's the worst.
Right.
You can't... Fans,
you were hot that day.
Yeah, because fans pay money in season tickets to come and see you guys play. And to say to them, hey, we're going to give up on a season, or this guy's not going to play because of load management, is a bunch of crap. So I'm sorry. I'm in the minority on that. That's the way everything is now.
A me impersonation.
Right. Everything. we got a tank. We got a tank for the number one pick. Nonsense. There should be a different way to do it.
The Spurs got Victor Wembanyama. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Well, let's see him play. And of course, you see, the thing I hate about it the most is Popovich. Popovich should have probably called it a career by now. And he has a 5-year extension because he tanked.
He's going to be 80
yes.
when that thing's over.
Right.
80. So I'm Wembanyama or not, at 75, I don't want to be working anymore.
If anyone's watched the Spurs, they all know that it's probably time for Popovich to move on. But he had the gift because they decided to be terrible, and they got a 5-year reprieve, some extra money.
I think we just got ourselves a double Pete versus. It began with LeBron, and then it flipped to Popovich on the way out.
And it was really based on my team, the Mets.
Yeah, that too. So that was Pete versus Steve Cohen, decade old LeBron, and elder abuse in Popovich.
Not elder abuse. He could be 40. I mean, the guy was there for 500 years. I mean, and he's had a great career.
Only Jody remembers the Spurs not coached by Greg
right,
Popovich.
Right. I don't even know who the coach was. Were they even a team before Popovich?
Yeah. He founded the organization. Right. James Naismith was the Spurs
That's
head
right.
coach.
That's right. I know him.
I love you so much. You are a treasure.
I'm right. Thank you.
I wouldn't go that far.
He agrees.
Who does? Emmanuel?
Yeah, he agrees.
I'm loving the passion.
See?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love the passion.
He agrees.
Hates the point, but loves the passion.
He agrees.
I do agree to a certain extent.
Come on, Emmanuel.
Pete, I also love you. I do not agree.
Of course you don't agree.
No tanking?
Such a zoomer.
Yeah.
Stop calling me a zoomer.
What are you?
I can't believe that's the meanest thing I can say to you these days.
What are you, a beta tape? What is it called? Beta? Beta? Alpha? Beta?
Are you actually a zoomer?
No, he's not. That's why he gets so offended.
Oh, what's gotcha. A zoomer?
What is a zoomer?
Gen Z.
Me, right?
No. No.
No, it's the one what is Gen Z? Beneath me.
That's another thing.
Are you Gen Z, Emmanuel? Are you a zoomer?
I think I'm a millennial, right?
When is a millennial cutoff? 98?
98. So you have to be born before or at 1998 to be outside
God.
The millennial sphere.
Are you asking me or are you telling
me? That far ago?
I'm asking the question.
Gen Z, it says a 2022 report, U.S. Census designates Gen Z as the youngest generation with adult members born 97 to 2013. So, Emmanuel, you are.
I'm Gen Z.
A zoomer.
I'm a zoomer. I thought I was a millennial.
What are we then?
How did you not know this entire time?
Doomed.
Because I'm not up on these.
I believe you guys
phases.
Are both Gen X.
Because they're stupid. I mean, come on.
They are stupid.
I'm also stunned to a news. That's an official U.S. Census designation.
Correct.
That's
Gen
what
X,
we're doing.
Gen X is born between 65 and 80, 1965
oh,
to 1980.
Just get in.
A whole lot of other problems, and we're worried about this.
All these are constructs. They're just
dumb. Right, not science.
Who decides this?
The typical Zoomer question.
That's right.
Stunned to a news headlines. Here's the Zoomer, Emmanuel.
In Canton, the first taste of preseason football. Browns over the Jets, 21-16. Aaron Rodgers, not a Zoomer, of course, didn't play for the Jets, but he's still taking the spotlight.
Yeah, man, I'm loving my time here. I mean, I've just embraced everything New York and had some great opportunities at MSG and concerts, Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran and plays, and there's a lot of stuff to do. I'm enjoying it.
You're the mayor, man. You're the mayor of New York.
Courtesy of NBC and looking forward to the season. What a guy. He's a renaissance man. Concerts, football, everything. Rodgers' new top weapon is Garrett Wilson. Didn't stop short of pretty high praise.
I mean, Garrett is just what an amazing kid. You know, I have so much love and respect for Devontae and feel like he's the best receiver in the league. So I don't say this lightly, but there are definitely traits that this 17 has that special 17 has as well.
So comparing his new top weapon to an old top weapon.
I mean, I guess there are some who would wonder why he didn't help Devontae Adams out by leaving 35 mil on the table in Green Bay, but
right.
At least he's saying nice things now.
That's not part of the narrative.
It's not. Moving
on. Gotta build
he's
that narrative.
He's a great
narrative.
Guy. Leave him alone. Thank you.
That's Pete's quarterback. Be
That's
careful.
That's my quarterback. That's what I wanted. I wanted a quarterback and a new coach.
And you got a quarterback. Yeah, you didn't get the new coach.
Bad at 500.
We'll see about the coach after this year. While he was on the sideline, Rodgers was assisting his friend offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. He even helped Zach Wilson's highlight throw of the night, a 57-yarder to Malik Taylor, apparently called by Aaron Rodgers.
I'm very grateful for him, and he helps me more than he needs to, so I'm very grateful.
So Zach Wilson taking well to his new role as Rodgers' backup. Baseball, what a win for the Mariners. Rookie Cade Marlowe in his 12th game. Go-ahead ninth inning grand slam off Angels closer Carlos Estevez on the road in Anaheim. Mariners stun the Angels 5-3.
Just shorten up. Like I said, just trying to put something in play and hopefully score Cavi, and it worked out.
Courtesy of Root Sports, Marlowe spoiled another Shohei Ohtani show. Ohtani had to leave after four innings on the mound, cramping in his right middle finger. But Ohtani did hit a round number, 40 homers on the season in the loss. Yankees 4, Astros 3, Anthony Volpe 2 out, RBI single in the 6th inning. Difference in the game. Before the game, Justin Verlander didn't have to sell his New York apartment just yet. He could stay in New York to join the Astros for their series with the Yankees. After a short stint with the Mets, Verlander back with the team. He's won 2 World Series and 2 Cy Youngs with.
I feel like I was just really starting to get settled in the city and my apartment, and my family was really getting used to things here. You know, you start building a life off the field. You try to build a life in the city that you're in, and you start getting comfortable and you make friends. And so that part is really difficult. It's a lot on the family.
He was starting to get comfortable, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Mets.
You know, the most frustrating part of that is now we lose Cade Upton, too.
Right. He did talk about Cade Upton, by the way. With that in mind, Verlander, he's a man now. He's 40. It's still winning time for him and Cade Upton.
When I sit down and talk with my wife about things, that's why we're here. And, we play this game to win and win championships.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
He's 40. He's got to win.
Yeah, thanks, Steve Cohen. Now we lost that.
So Justin Verlander, Cade Upton are back to Houston, at least after the series in New York. Yeah, but Verlander's going to start against the Yankees.
And they'll win a ring. It'll be right in our face, and the Mets will be paying $50 million of it.
I have no such feelings for Verlander. Go do whatever. It will not bother me. If Scherzer goes to Texas and starts mowing down good teams in big spots, that dude's dead to me.
Well, that's the thing. Verlander is still good.
Yeah.
So if Scherzer does it, it would bother you because he wasn't good.
Correct.
And then he would become good again.
Absolutely.
Verlander was good before the trade.
Yeah. I've got no ill will towards Verlander, but I don't need a good Scherzer all of a sudden.
See, I have no confidence in Scherzer's stuff anymore to think that they will do it. Verlander, as we said, I think he still has the stuff, and I would have kept him. The thing that would bother me is that him winning another ring, knowing what has happened and how much the paycheck is being paid by the Mets.
Yeah. It's not my money. It's not your money.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Who's going to get it in anyway?
It's totally ridiculous. Don't get me started.
Hey, Pete versus is over.
All right.
Pretty predictable. He will dominate. Cubs top the Reds 5-3. 3 out of 4 for Chicago. Now only a couple of games out of first place in the NL Central. Giants shut out the Diamondbacks 1-0. Brewers obliterated the Pirates 14-1. Twins edged the Cardinals 5-3. Dodgers pounded the A's 8-2. WNBA Mercury star Diana Taurasi, another milestone, first in WNBA history to 10,000 career points, and she did it with her best scoring effort since 2010, 42 points in a win over the Dream. It's time to get stunned, I believe.
Yes.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So a woman escaped from a makeshift, quote-unquote, dungeon made of cinder blocks in a man's Oregon home, and now the FBI says it's searching for additional victims in other states. So the guy who's making all this happen, Negasi Zuberi, he was taken into federal custody with the idea that he kidnapped across state lines. This is a woman from Seattle, escaped from his home and the cinder-blocked dungeon in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Zuberi, who's the assailant, has lived in at least 10 states since 2016. He's been linked to violent assaults in at least 4 states. And Zuberi traveled from his home in Klamath Falls to Seattle, posed as an undercover police officer, then allegedly pointed a taser at the victim, placed her in handcuffs and leg irons, then put her in the backseat of the car. Zuberi took the victim Zubery told the victim she was under arrest, posing as a police officer, then drove back to his Klamath Falls home more than 450 miles away, stopping on the way to, of course, assault her. And the woman did realize, with the GPS saying 2 hours and 5 minutes to go in the drive, this was not a police officer. This was a kidnap attempt. So then, once they got back, after a certain amount of time, cinder blocked in the dungeon, the woman escaped out of the dungeon now, but the idea now to figure out who else Zubery has harmed.
So, well, that was uplifting.
Yeah.
Very appropriate music for this story.
Where do we want to begin, guys?
I think just we highlight the heroics of her actions, escaping from a cinder block prison cell that
correct.
He owned. How did she do that? Did she learn, like, what was it, the five-finger death punch, Kill Bill? Just to, boom, blown through those cinder blocks?
And I never say how the person gets out, so that's pretty heroic.
How about, so when she gets out, she flags down somebody driving by to call 911.
Right.
If you're just driving down the highway and there's a person in visible distress, are you actually stopping? Like, is your first thing, like, I don't want, like, whatever's going on, I don't want, like, I...
If somebody's waving me down on the highway...
You're slowing down?
No, blowing right through them.
Right? I mean, like, I...
I've seen too many movies, I've heard too many stories.
Right.
Last thing I need is for me to open the door, hey, what's up? Pull a gun. Get out of the car.
Exactly.
No thanks, sorry.
Roll the window down, they're reaching in the car for something.
If you want help, it's on you, buddy. Go figure it out, go run down, run to the nearest anything,
yes.
Civilization, and seek help. I'm not pulling over for you on the side of the
highway. That's a good Samaritan to pull over.
Yeah, especially if my kid's in the car, we're not stopping. But what I will do is I'll call 911 and I'll say there's a guy, there's a lady who needs help here, but I don't know that I'm the one that's going to stop because I'm afraid of all the things that Boyle just mentioned. Am I being tricked? Is there somebody chasing this person that's now going to come get me because of this? Like, that's, I don't know, man. I don't know that I would want to help, but I don't know if my first instinct is to stop and unlock my car door.
It's every man for themselves. I am not pulling over for you if you are in distress.
Yeah, that's... So this lady's out. She's okay, but we don't know who else might be in there.
Yeah, I would think.
Or where the house is, actually.
Since this Negasi Zubery has assaulted people in, what, four different states over the years, I would think there are others out there. This isn't a one-off.
Right.
But I think the greater thing here is, in this instance, there was cinder-blocked dungeon involved. And this woman somehow got out.
Yeah.
That's the real stun to a noose. How did she
get out?
How did she escape this?
How did she? Yeah. Zubery, I mean, he has all these things up his sleeve. But the woman finding a way to break this concoction, I think is what should be heralded.
Yeah.
But we don't know how.
Now,
that's the issue.
And the bigger picture, you weren't here all this week. Our previous stun to a noose this week involved manatee orgies and possibly fake bears in a Chinese zoo. Those are more along the lines of stories that we're looking for and stunned, not just a mass sexual assaulter.
Yeah, Manuel, who gave you that story, huh?
And I'm the guy that usually every once in a while drops the doom and gloom
hammer. I'm not going to point fingers, Pat.
But this one was a doozy.
I gave him the story.
Of course you did.
I didn't think he'd actually use it.
A little bit of a sabotage
right there.
Yeah.
We'll spin the wheel of topics, see what we land on when we come back on the DA Show. Ah, that took a turn. Still recovering from stun to a noose. Let me lighten the mood. I'm very proud of the shirt I'm wearing today. I'm not sure if you guys noticed it yet on the different feeds. But I'm kind of stretched so you can see it better now for whichever camera is on me. The Bismarck Larks of the Northwest League, which I believe is where the Northwoods Leagues, that's where Boyle as a college player played one summer. But for a game this year, they rebranded as the Missouri River Motorboaters. It's a nautical reference, but it's also a double entendre. And I love those. So I saw this online. Bought it. It took a while to get from Bismarck to Long Island, but now I got it, and here it is today. This is my new favorite shirt.
That's exceptional. I didn't even realize that.
The Missouri River Motorboaters.
A lot of sex on today's show.
There's a lot. And this is, this one's clever. Everybody knows what it means.
That's phenomenal.
But there's a little motorboat kind of guy. He's like a little engine.
I can search Bismarck Larks Motorboaters and buy that shirt.
Not only this shirt, they've got a whole line of merch that's just based on their one-day existence as the Missouri River Motorboaters.
Wow.
I mean,
phenomenal.
That's how you do it in the Bismarck, in the Northwoods League. You don't cut corners when Boyle's playing for you.